Good morning, comrade. This is a little bit extra from our conversation with Cyrus Cooper. Cyrus is the host of Sup Last. You can get more information.
So if you didn't like the episode on Tuesday.
Yeah, if you didn't like this episode on Tuesday, this one's better, I promise. Yeah. Because we have Scott on the show, that's why Scott's here. We got Scott and Cyrus. What's going on, y'all?
Same old internet problems, trying to keep a connection free for y'all.
Yeah, appreciate it, man.
Yeah, gotta keep a lid on that shit.
You know, if the internet, so I'm sort of thinking of this now. Like, if the internet just somehow went out all across the world, like, there ain't no Zoom conferences no more. There's no conversation that kind of way. How can, like, I don't know, what would happen to this? What would happen? How would you keep in touch with people if you couldn't do the internet now? I guess it would be phone calls or something, right?
I mean, I guess if it's like just the internet itself is what we just took like one step back.
Right. Mm-hmm. What do you mean the internet just stops? Like, what on the internet has to stop working for
everything?
Us to not be able to do internet?
The connections, like all the web servers.
Yeah, you can't go on Twitter anymore.
They cut the pipes.
Yeah, the series
they
of tubes gets interrupted.
Man, I feel like y'all talking about like ghosts or some shit. It's like all pseudoscience.
Hey, man.
Look, if you know, like, think about it though. Like, if there was
They closed the main vein. Like,
look,
if there was a hypothetical, whatever
the mechanism is, like, if there is no internet tomorrow, in the middle of coronavirus, that still stays. Then, like, the way that people interact would just fund, like, because we very quickly and very suddenly got like addicted and like dependent on things like video conferences, like Zoom and stuff. And, like, we're literally doing this over a video conference call. So, I mean, that's, like, this is kind of case in point. How would we do the show, even, if we didn't have the internet? You know?
Drive to the station.
Yeah, you'd have to have some sort of equipment to have a phone call recorded.
Pirate radio.
Yeah. We get a big ship like that movie.
Oh, yes.
What movie?
You get, like... Pirate Radio or whatever it's called. It's got like Philip Seymour Hoffman in it or some shit.
Oh, okay. I never saw that one.
Yeah. It's got Bill Nighy. They're just like 60s people and they're like, well, we want to do a radio station, but Ofcom won't let us. Or the BBC is just like,
is that
like flexing their big muscles.
Is that like the episode of Pete and Pete?
Probably. But
it is kind of like the Pete and Pete, yeah. But instead of a garage, it's a big boat.
Yeah, so they just bought a boat and they're just like doing all this radio from the sea. And they're like, you can't get us. We're in international waters. But they were trying
maritime
to
law, baby.
But then, like,
man.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, was that like just because like they were like, because the BBC made people get licenses or something?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Or they were like, they didn't want them like playing rock and roll music.
Yeah.
Play the rock and roll.
No, we have to play this stuffy classical music, and you got to like it.
So basically, that movie is. Oh, geez. What is the Kevin Bacon movie with the dancing?
Jeff, you've seen every movie but this one.
Huh? Footloose. It's basically Footloose, but for radio.
And it actually happened.
That's what it sounds like to me.
It is like that, except for you replace the government with the church.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Which is an interesting thing. Listen, that you were just talking about, huh?
Yeah,
I just
turned
the hose off on
the church.
You guys.
Don't turn the hose off on me, Scott.
Yeah, you can't
say
that.
I want extra internet now.
Turn the hose on extra.
I saw some article the other day that was like, we should turn off the internet for one weekend a month or something like that.
Yeah, who is somebody mom like on a medium now?
I don't know what the hell it is. Yeah, it's like, yeah, it was by Caden's mom on medium is the name of the user. But I guess it's something that more people are thinking about when it just kind of boils down to, you know, the plot of Ready Player One and how they like fix that is like turn into the internet.
I'm familiar with a similar law when my mom was like, okay, after Dick Van Dyke, y'all have to go to bed. You can't watch you can't watch Get Smart. You have to go to bed. We're like, damn.
So on that thing, on the Ready Player One thing, it sounded like turn the internet off was the solution. And that's the exact same solution that happens at the end of the lesser known Escape from L.A., which is the sequel to Escape from New York, when Snake Plissken has the button that turns off all.
Let me just give you like a little breakdown. Basically,
Kurt
like
Russell at his best.
Basically, after Escape from L.A. and he had his pardon or whatever, he's like, I'm just going to do more crimes.
Nice.
And then he becomes an even more legendary criminal, and they catch him again. And he's like, well, you guys ain't sticking me with any needles. But they like somebody scratched him in the lobby, and he's like, oh, you got a fucking super flu, and you're going to die.
Yeah. Yeah, damn, they hit him with a super flu?
They got him again. You can't use the same gimmick. They just had to do another gimmick.
Fox die.
Yeah, Fox die. They give him Fox die.
Doesn't he make like a full court basketball shot in
LA? Oh yeah, dude. We gotta watch that movie. We gotta do that for the extra. Would you join us for that?
Yeah, whatever it is. Yeah.
Well, anyway, this is kind of a spoiler. Are you cool with that? But
yeah,
anyway,
for sure.
Part of it is like the whole basis of it is that there's a series of satellites that the U.S. whatever controls that can essentially turn off all of electricity in the world.
They can basically turn off society
and press a button and turn it all off. And at the end of it, like literally Kurt Russell's got the button. He like lights a cigarette and he presses it and turns it all off.
The number is 666.
The devil is in the details.
We need to watch that Skynet movie. That would be so much fun.
That's a great movie.
That's so awesome.
The bad guy in this one is Stacy Keach. So it's just
Stacy
like,
Keach, the dad from Titus.
Yeah, the dad from Titus, who just always talk about beating his kids.
Dang.
The 90s actually was one of the best fucking decades there ever been.
The voice for like the MSNBC like white collar crime show. You know that MSNBC show?
Oh yeah.
Man.
That's Stacy Keach on that show doing the gravelly this person just scammed this guy with
what's it called? Like telecom or whatever, the one that just like went crazy after Enron.
Oh, MCI.
Yeah.
Oh my God, WorldCom. That's what it was. Yeah, MCI WorldCom. Oh my God, I remember when that stuff was going down because that was like, that was in like 2001 or 2002, right?
It was all like 2001. Yeah.
Yeah, because I was in high school and like I remember like we were talking about right wing radio on Tuesday show about like how a lot of that was sort of like the circulation of everything that was like rallying the fences for capitalism at that point, wasn't it? That was sort of like making sure like we don't expose that this system is totally open for all kinds of just complete and utter like crimes, like not even any question about it. Like these things that they're doing are just so like insider trading and all this other kind of crazy stuff. And it was like people don't remember that stuff. Like when the telecom bubble burst, as they call it, you know?
Oh man. Just like how, I mean, I was just listening to a thing about Enron the other day, man. Just like how the scheme went down.
That got so memory hold.
Yeah. There's so many different things they did that was so scummy. It's just in the California thing. I mean, it's not just like Enron did one bad thing. They did like a million gazillion bad things and went bankrupt because of it.
It's kind of crazy how they talk about it compared to like how they talk about like violent crime. They're like, I watched, like when I was a kid, I'd always get punished and I can only watch the news and Jeopardy and Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. And I watched a million things like that was just like about like Enron, and you don't know I didn't know what the fuck happened. Like,
no, they definitely made it as confusing as possible when they reported it on TV.
Man,
dude, they were just
the
they
stuff
did it,
about
we got
the
them.
Power was crazy, man.
Yeah,
they would like they could affect the demand of power, right? So they would artificially inflate demand for power in California. Then there was a special law because California cooked their own. They messed up so hard in like writing their regulatory structure that like if there was an emergency surge of power, they had the emergency like authority to pay whatever contract they needed for the surge.
They just leveraged the public.
Yeah.
And they use these sort of like public private partners. See, this is what we should definitely like go through like crimes of capitalism like that have just sort of like happened. It just sort of like go through like the MCI WorldCom shit and the 2000
like almost every crime.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, we could go through like 2008. We can go through like post Katrina. It's basically like, see, the difference is in like post Katrina, and like that's like shock doctrine, like waiting for an emergency. With Enron, it's like leveraging an emergency, using your relationship to the government to make it so that you can just print money, you know,
and also just creating emergencies.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
I mean, they were throttling the demand, creating the emergency. I mean, throttling the supply, creating the emergency demand, and then selling them from other carriers they owned with like, you know, big time buku profit. And they were just like, that was just one of the many different ways they used to juice their sales of power in California. Like that wasn't the only way.
Yeah.
They have like all kinds of code names for these different little schemes they used to run.
Yeah.
And that was the most interesting part of it. But I mean, to me, I thought that was intriguing.
Yeah.
But I mean, not to mention just like the full blown, just like nobody paying attention because it's a big company making a lot of money. And just claiming, you know, just all the normal stuff.
And when like here's another thing too. Like we talked in the Tuesday show about facts, not caring about your feelings, and that's true. But if you give like so many facts that people kind of can't process them, then you can kind of direct whatever the feelings are gonna be based on how you present those facts. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but like think of how it's reported as next to like a big like. Another big like crime on the news that's just like
that's what I mean.
Simpson like thing where they just talk about every detail, like they dredge up every detail and they talk to everybody. They talk to everybody O.J. Simpson ever met, like in the game of book.
Cato Kaelin.
Yeah, dude, I was listening to a podcast about Cato Kaelin. It's pretty good. It's just about how like he was just like he wasn't like dumb, but he was.
He was the perfect person for that story.
And he would just kind of like drift in and out of friendships, like laterally, kind of socially and stuff.
Relatable.
He was just a guy who's like cool to have around. So they just like took care of his ass. So like, yeah. You want him. Plus there are like all these people in like Beverly Hills and like Brentwood. It's like they got the space. Like if he wants kid to spend the weekend, it's like, especially like OJ Simpson, who's just a fucking single weirdo doing fucking weird shit.
Yeah, man. Cato laid in the cut, man. That guy kind of got in where he fit in. He can't fit it. You can't fake it. I mean, you can't fault him for that.
Yeah. Not only was he a witness, but he was like part of the alibi.
Yeah, but I mean, like again, that's like you were talking about that and relating it to these things like Enron and like the thing with I guess the difference between like a O.J. Simpson trial and an Enron sort of situation is that the facts in the O.J. situation are pretty. I mean, they're debatable to a certain extent, but they're fairly straightforward in terms of they were presented as such in a media narrative. When it came to Enron, it was like, well, these people were trying to do X, Y, or Z. They kind of attributed like either...
There was also a bunch of different avenues of information outside of that. I mean, like, because you never got like Congress never talked to OJ or anything like they did Ken Lay or... anything like that. So you got like more opportunities for more people to question them. And yet, you know, so it's like, but none of them was in a, like almost like a trial aspect. Once you get to the trial part, that part barely hit the, you know, the TV. Cause everybody had kind of figured out who they thought was guilty just because the company went bankrupt and lost a lot of money.
Yeah.
So people just kind of looked up and like, I guess they're guilty. But that, but also, they could have like not gone bankrupt and been just as guilty. It's just that like the failure of the capitalism part is they what exposed the crime part.
They only got in trouble because they went bankrupt. If they wouldn't have gone bankrupt, they would have never, ever faced any scrutiny ever in a million years. Ever. That's the best part about the whole thing.
Not only did they like get caught, they blew it.
Well, they blew it. So they blew it. So they got caught. So they basically got. So in this sort of like, I think this is the thing, right? The key thing specifically with like the Enron situation and like with the MCI thing and all these other situations is they failed, so then they got in trouble. Not they got in trouble, then that brought them down. They had to fail first. They would never have gotten in trouble if they had never failed first.
Oh, I mean, yeah. There's just like, yeah, well, I mean, once things, the stock starts slipping and everything, and that's when people start writing articles like, what's going on over there? And then that's when everybody starts kind of like looking in and investigating. Once Theranos like didn't, you know, couldn't like show anything to anybody after they'd gotten a bunch of millions upon millions of dollars.
Yeah, once they fucked over like CVS or whatever. CVS, like,
yeah.
And it's not like the government wouldn't want to give them like a bailout too, right? Like if they were at least clean enough so that the media and that like people who actually were paying attention to it, you know, the do-gooders of the world, as you could put it, if you were on their side, you know, if they could get away with saying like, oh, we tried our best to do a business legitimately, and those were legitimate business ventures, even though they were what they were. If you look at it and you can't make a reasonable enough case to suggest that, like, that's not the case, and you would need like a preponderance of evidence heavily weighted towards that being not legitimate, then they get the fucking bailout. They get whatever they want, no matter what. That happens all the time.
I mean, look at all the, you know, the companies that get just like the pollute like crazy and just have to pay a fine. You know, there's like, there's all kinds of crimes and stuff that people do that are arguably worse for more people that have less penalties. And then, but those guys, you know, because they thought that they were smarter than everybody and then went to Congress and then acted like they were smarter than everybody, then you just pissed everybody off. And then everybody was like, well, we tried. Mm-hmm. We tried to help you. We gave you a platform to like for you to apologize, and you acted like a dickhead.
So now we have to punish you.
Easy story to make you look like an asshole. Like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and so like I guess the thing is like it's almost like it's more of a crime to be sloppy than it is to actually do bad shit. You know?
Yeah, I mean,
it's very mafia.
Care,
like you've been sloppy. Like, you've been sloppy, Dan. You know, or whatever. And then you get whacked.
You gotta go down.
Like, you get whacked. At least
they want you to implode. They don't want you to explode.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, they got some on me.
Man, we started off fast on this one, but yeah, that's kind of like one of the things that I'm also sort of thinking about, and like more proof of this sort of like line is. Like the way that the bailouts were organized during this coronavirus thing. Every single thing, the moon, the stars, and everything was just given to the businesses. And they gave us like a $1,200 whatever and like $600 extra for unemployment just to get that through. That was the concession that they made. You know, they gave a one-time payment of $1,200 and $600 extra a month for unemployment, which is not nothing for sure. But the what they got for it was all of these huge businesses just got everything.
Just slush funds, just like big time payoffs to everybody. And now, of course, after they did that, they're like, well, you know,
yeah,
let's be we went a little overboard with trying to sweeten the pot for these companies.
Yeah.
We're like, man, we should pull back on helping regular people. And,
yeah, exactly.
Make sure we're still...
Yeah.
Well, and
you guys didn't stop us, so what the fuck?
Yeah. that was sort of like, so I'm kind of all over the map here, but I'm also thinking about like when so recently, I guess it was about a week ago now, the Democrats passed this thing called the Heroes Act, which was like a messaging bill, quote unquote, that they were supposed to say, well, this is what the Democrats are saying that we need in the next round of stimulus after the businesses already got bailed out. So there's no chance that any of this gets put through. So the whole point of even the whole point of this is to sort of build popularity behind these certain ideas. What do they leave out? Medicare for all. What do they leave out? Direct payment to worker. You know, like payment protection, paycheck protection act that Jayapal, even though she very, very pathetically tried to put, you know, that forward as a part of the bill, she tried to put it forward as part of the bill. At least she had the idea. Yeah. She didn't have any guts about it, but you know.
Hey, man. It's, you know, I think that, like, I wish they would do good stuff, but I, you know,
they don't.
You know, it's just like, I can't, like, I mean, it's just been so long at this point of our lives with Mitch McConnell at the helm. I mean, you just know what it is. It's just like, there's no surprise anymore that they have malice for humans dying of a disease en masse in terms, you know, they have no, don't care at all about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's just not, it doesn't surprise me. It should surprise me more. And I definitely, some part of my body is definitely reacting to the news. I feel sick to my stomach all the time, but I don't, it doesn't, like, it's not like a shock or anything.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, I don't know. It's almost like an old Warner Brothers cartoon, like the Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote or something like that. And they're just kind of like, you know, the Republicans are the one that are just like setting the pace and doing whatever the fuck they want. And the Democrats are just like, oh, here's an idea, you know, more of the same, the same fucking like Acme rocket, you know, in 15 different in a row, you know, trying to launch the thing and catch the Roadrunner. And they still blast themselves into the, they blast themselves into the side of the mountain that's painted like a tunnel. You know?
Damn. Yeah. It's sad, man. It's sad. I don't think it's doesn't make bring a heartening feeling to think about the people in charge right now. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. Sleep at the wheel, big time.
Yeah.
So I hear you're a fan of conspiracies.
I am a big time fan of conspiracies.
What's your favorite?
My favorite?
Yeah. Ooh.
It's tough to say exactly favorite ones because some of them are like,
give me a good
I love
one,
any I love it all, like, I like just Disneyland conspiracies.
Oh, go on, are those, hell yeah.
I love all the stuff about, you know, where you can find, or people have died secretly, or like, you know, what you can find, if like there's stuff about like in the Haunted Mansion, one of the people there is like, you know, and it was like a real person. It's like, oh, it's actually just like, you know, it's stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's like some Poltergeist 2 stuff.
Where Urban Legend
had
shit.
A bunch of skeletons, and they were like, oh yeah, those are real skeletons. And they're like, why don't you get fake ones? And you're like, it's harder. It's easier to find dead people.
There's some, everybody dies. I mean, might as well.
But I mean, it also, everything Epstein related. I like every avenue of that conspiracy. Mm-hmm. I hate everything that he did and everybody involved, of course, but the conspiracy is interesting to delve into.
Yeah, how could you not, like, how could you possibly think...
People, like, turning the wheel right now or like implicated in that.
How could you possibly think that Epstein just fucking killed himself, you know? How could you think that? Like, seriously.
I can't.
It's not actually a reality. And it's sort of like a mark of hubris by the fucking, like, ruling class to it's an insult that they think that they can bullshit us and make us think that that's the truth, you know?
It's true. I mean, it's just like... as soon as he went to jail, everybody was like, well, we'll see how long this lasts. Yeah. I feel like as soon as he got arrested, everybody's joke was like, well, he's going to get clapped
in
prison
dead now.
Quick. He's dead for sure. And then, of course, it happened. And then everybody, of course, doesn't know what to think about it. You know what I mean? It's like, it's whiplash. He's like, wait a second. I thought I was fucking kidding. What? They did just go out there and kill him?
Yeah, my favorite Epstein theory.
He just tweeted it out.
My favorite
he just
Epstein
tweeted
theory.
It out. I've been working on it for years.
My favorite Epstein theory, and I'm not even sure if this one's out there, but I'm sure it is. 100% somebody has thought this and talked about it and tweeted about it and posted about it. But like the idea that Epstein just like thinks he's the fucking Joker and killed himself so that people would think that that this is what the fucking Clintons or whatever would do.
Oh yeah,
that's like the best one that could possibly happen. That is checkmate.
He actually committed 4D chess to himself into.
He's the Joker.
I'm a joke, baby. He just got himself.
I'm just gonna like rework a theory that's just the plot of Iron Man 2 about the like fake like killing that guy, and it's guess what, Epstein's back and he's got a robot on him.
I love the Epstein's not really dead theory, which is out there, which is that's one of my favorites. I love the idea that they swapped, like the conspiracy that they swapped his body with Hillary Clinton's brother's body.
Damn,
Tony Rodham.
Please elaborate.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, there's a. there's a lot of people who think that one of the conspiracies that came out was when they were moving his body from the Metropolitan holding cell, that his body was swapped with the body. Like, he wasn't actually dead. The dead body you saw there was actually the body of Tony Rodham or whatever, brother of Hillary Rodham Clinton.
Well, how'd he die?
Well, he was like not one of Hillary's buddies. And so they clapped him up to like cover up and like extract Epstein to bring him back to the kid sex island.
This is incredible.
Damn. This is so crazy.
So, yeah, I mean, yeah, there's some people who think there's some people.
I mean, I don't know, man. I'm thinking about it. It's starting to make sense.
It is. There's people out there who think that Jeffrey Epstein isn't even a real individual, but rather an identity that the CIA
gives. Oh, my God. He is the Joker.
The CIA is the fucking Joker.
I love that.
Wait, it's like, it's one of those things. It's like, who's the Joker? We're all the Joker.
Everybody's a Joker.
We're all Joker-fied now, baby. Yeah, shouts out to Bugman.
The Joker stands up, and then another guy next to him stands up and says, I'm the Joker.
It's like, I am Spartacus, but it's I am the Joker.
I heard if you watch that movie like 50,000 times, you get Joker-fied.
Yeah. Oh, man.
This has quickly become the most unhinged episode I think we've ever done.
Yes, bad.
It's great. but I don't know, man. I don't know. There's just like, it's just amazing to me what you can prove, at least to yourself, if you don't like have any basis of evidence for what you want to believe. It's like very X-Files shit, right? Like, you think about like Mulder from the X-Files or whatever, and you just sort of like think about like him just sort of like stringing these ideas together. Now, in the X-Files, obviously he was right, but like, if he just starts like putting these ideas together and they're all completely insane, and then next thing you know, you just like Mulder is kind of QAnon, you know.
He can be, man. God.
Mulder is the real.
The
Q?
Deep state is always the one who's trying to thwart him, like the cigarette smoking man and all that stuff, right?
Yeah,
and like.
So like the idea is like here's another thing about the fucking 90s, right? Like maybe like the idea, the reason we have a QAnon is because we had an X-Files, you know?
Oh no.
Hey, it's letters. It's all letters, right? X-File, QAnon. Hey.
Dude, whoa. How many numbers apart are they in the alphabet? Maybe we could throw that in there.
Not that many.
If it will be important to count them if we actually want to make this
I think
a conspiracy.
There's nine.
No matter what number
Wait,
it
hold
is,
on a second.
We can
nine,
come up with an importance for it.
Nine. 10,
one,
11.
One.
Whoa.
11.
9 and then 11. Oh, forget the 10.
I just said 9-11, by the way. I didn't even count.
Yeah.
It does count, though.
Yeah,
it does. Because
of course.
That's a way to talk about conspiracy.
Yeah, that's how you do it.
So bring it up.
I have a favorite thing about conspiracy theories in that, like, this is kind of like a thing I heard from another writer. Like, I'm not a writer, but, like, this person is a writer. And, this guy named Matt D. Wilson, he has a big like kind of treatise about noir, like the stories,
the style,
and about how like the whatever the thing that the all the like conspiracy is about is always boring. Mm-hmm. Like Chinatown was about like
water rights and stuff.
Yeah, about, like, water rights and stuff, and like just always something like mundane, because like you're like, man, this got to be a real good secret. Because like they're doing all this crazy murder and
that's
like
realpolitik, it's fucking
stuff.
Bismarck shit.
Yeah, but
that's
it's like,
what was so tight about True Detective season 2, man.
Yeah,
I love True Detective season 2.
So
tell
the audience
weird,
what happened.
It's a weird noir that's like based upon.
I think it was pretty maligned at the time, but like I really couldn't. I couldn't pay attention. Maybe I'll go back and watch it one day.
So tell the audience what happened, because actually I myself didn't even watch it. So
yeah. I mean, the first season is basically about the Joker.
Yeah. The second season is very strange. I would say it would take me a long time to get all my ducks in a row on why I think it's really good. But I think there's something like the show's called True Detective, and there's some there's an air of metafiction about the show in terms of its role as a self-knowing noir. Mm-hmm. And then it playing into like heightened elements of its tropes with through absurdity through this through like the absolute just like self-indulgent prose of the writer creator and in service of a very very mundane plot about people buying up plots of land mm-hmm. to like just control like cities are near that will be near a monorail.
Right.
Yeah.
Damn, so like, monorail. Which wow, is kind of like why deep noir cut for me. Is
so good. It's kind of like why noir is so good because it's almost like people looking at these people doing these terrible things and it's like, oh, they don't even have a very good reason. Like no. they just want like
if they do it's like their, a go ahead.
They just want like their like fourth quarter to be better.
Yeah, right.
It's their reason. It doesn't yeah. matter. It's that's not a good one. It's just theirs.
That's a really it's good like critique alien though, logic. Because yeah. that's again like those kinds of critiques are definitely things that happen in the world, right?
Yeah.
And that's the thing. But like with noirs, it's all wrapped in style, right? That's yeah, what well, a noir
no,
is.
No. It's not. There's like metaphors and stuff because like think of the detectives.
That's
like,
what style is.
Like just describe a detective. Like a detective is usually like he knows stuff about the community.
Yeah.
He can go to a bar and get information.
They're hard boiled.
So like him like not being able to put this mystery together is because he doesn't understand the motives. Like
yeah, it's too boring. You
know? Yeah. Like he can figure out the
that's a great critique though. That like that's actually like some pretty straightforward story. Like that is like that when I see that, the entire point of things like True Detective is open your eyes, sheeple. You know, like you're not seeing the reality for what it is.
Have yeah. you ever seen Inherent Vice or read that one?
No.
I'm not.
That's the Pynchon noir. That is baller. It is all about how like you can follow leads, but they might not lead you anywhere. And there's like a whole lot of no answers at the end of the rainbow. It's really
I
good.
Love that. That's the best because
it's
you like
really good.
I love when stories have loose ends like that because the only way they get solved is like by like the only limitation is the brain of the person fucking reading it. You know,
right? Yeah.
Like that person is just gonna like make whatever they think happen. And this is like. I'm getting into like some really nerdy like death of the author stuff. Like yeah. no matter what the person who wrote it like intended the end to actually be, even if they did put the words on the page, it doesn't matter. But if they didn't put the words on the page, then it's just wild fucking west. You could just have it be whatever you there like the world is your oyster. I mean, and you can make it the weirdest thing it could possibly ever be.
There are a lot of endings like that. Like sometimes like the detective will like figure it out or like if in the rare occasion that the person is like foiled and caught or whatever, the detective will just be like, "Welp, that problem is fixed.
Solved it. Bye."
Yeah, tying up the loose end. Like the only thing that matters is the report that he turns into the boss at the end of the day.
or like even the like other kind of aspect is he looks at it and he's like, "Oh man, this is like a bigger problem, and I cannot fucking do anything about it."
Like, I love that one. That's like yeah. That's the real ones.
Yeah, like
you just surrender yourself to reality or to the complicatedness of the situation. That's an act of humility by the main character. Yeah, that's a big deal.
It's almost like a Matrix thing where you like you see beyond the pale, and you're like, "Oh man, am I gonna like despair about this, or am I just gonna be like, no man, I did good?" You know, like
yeah,
like you like you assume like the detective like. Got the cash reward and like made out with the dame, so like you know he's doing all right.
And also they're like private detectives, right? So they're like, yeah. they don't like have to bring it to the cops. They're usually just yeah. like what happened.
They're small
also,
business like, owners
that happened
also at, like, at the point where a detective has to fix this. It's almost like why what investment does the detective have in like stamping out this problem to like get some a cool girlfriend and like all the like cool cash he put like in his coat.
Yeah, it's just like, well, he's like, what's he's the like, next question?
He's like, we can't fix these problems because then I won't like be rewarded from fixing like solving them.
You know, so somebody mentioned the Matrix earlier, and I think it's really funny to think about like everybody wants to take the fucking red pill, take the red pill, take the red pill, take the red pill, and like most like the idea like Elon Musk and like freaking like Ivanka Trump or whatever, like we're doing the take the red pill sort of thing, and like you know Lana Wachowski, one of the directors, was like, "Well, fuck y'all" or whatever, whatever. I'm, yeah. Like, but
you
but
guys the, are I think all fucking idiots.
I'm just justifying why I'm bringing this up right now. But you ever think about like what, like the reason that somebody would want to take the fucking blue pill and not be a part of any of this stuff and just live their terrible, horrible life?
Yeah, they talk about
absolutely.
That a lot.
Yeah,
it's like a much like expanded on thing.
Yeah, I love the case
I mean,
for the blue pill.
What Tank does, right? That's what.
Not Tank. It was,
the bad guy
was. It was. What's his name? What's the actor's name?
Cypher.
Cypher is a bad guy.
What's the actor's name? Joe Pantoliano.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he was like, dude, fuck no, Seth. Like, I'm trying to just eat steak and be stupid as shit and famous. Yeah.
He was the original grill pill, wasn't he? He was the original grill pill.
He's like, just give me politics, $100 million.
I just want to grill. People are saying like racism, white supremacy, whatever. I'm just grilling over here, you know?
Man, I'm just trying to be a famous guy, gnawing on shit, big steaks, big buns.
Like, I just want a cool car.
Cypher is the original fucking grill pillar, isn't he?
No, that makes grill pilling seem bad.
No, but no, like that's the point where
that's kind of a negative sort of like connotation. Well,
so like the problem with Cypher isn't that he wanted a regular life. The problem is that he fucking betrayed his friends and got them killed. That's the problem. Sure. The wanting a regular life or wanting to have like the luxury of ignorance.
Well, he didn't even tell his like friends. He was like, yeah, this sucks. Like, put me back in. Like,
no,
he was like, I'm just trying to like sell these people out.
There was like a little bit of like there was subtext about it, but like I guess the point becomes like. I can't imagine anybody who like thinks about like politics like all the time or whatever who doesn't have the sort of like get me the fuck out of here mindset at all times, and that's what the sort of Cypher thing appeals to, right? Now the problem is that in the framework of the story that they're telling, in order for Cypher to do it, he had to like betray his friends and get them fucking killed. That's why he's a bad character, not because he wanted to live a regular life. Those things were kind of tied together, though, because of what happened.
Wow, man.
Cypher he also did kind of want to, like, buy a woman, too, though. He was
definitely want to buy a girlfriend, too. I forgot about that part.
That's a little dirtbaggy,
too, like, but that's also tied up in this, isn't it?
He's like, you know, like that girl that I work with, like in my office, like, yeah, make her like my wife. Very creepy. Like,
cool dude.
That's Joe Pantoliano. That he does creepy all the time. I mean, back to the Goonies.
He's one of those actors who seems like a freaking nice guy, but like he just plays his
despicable. He's a Steve Buscemi. Like. He's a Steve Buscemi.
Yeah,
they're very similar guys.
They were both in The Sopranos.
That's true.
For similar reasons.
Tony killed them both.
He was better. Joe was better on The Sopranos.
Yeah, damn, he was a piece of shit, man. Like you were like happy when he died. You were like, oh, absolutely. F that dude. Like,
get rid of this members only jacket wearing motherfucker.
You know, I never watched The Sopranos. I never
did. Tony was cool, but like he was just like cracked up too like much. Like the other guy was like, yeah, I'm a piece of shit. Like I just do awful things. He's like, I'm not gonna apologize. Can make a lot of money at my job. Tony loves that.
He's a good earner.
Yeah. Tony don't even like me. the best way to die in The Sopranos is to be the best earner. Because, like, they always die. Like, except for Paulie, like, who's the one in the beginning.
Yeah.
They had, like, that guy, and they killed him. And then they had the other guy, and they found out he was gay, and they killed him.
Because, damn.
Like,
they killed him because he was gay?
Oh, they had a character. It was a guy named Vito.
Yeah. Did they kill him because he was gay?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, damn.
Turns out the mob is not a moral,
unwoke mob.
Yeah,
not these woke Twitter mobs.
Whoa. I never watched it though. Like, I definitely should go back and watch it, but I just
it's, like that and Mad Men are kind of similar because like people are like, oh man, these is just real like. Ponderous.
That's how
like,
it is, man.
Ponderous
what
dramas,
you think,
but like,
doesn't it?
Like literally, like most of the time, those two shows are like comedies. Like,
dude, they're both. You're so right. They're both some of the funniest shows I've like, ever seen.
Like a reoccurring
way
thing
funny than
Mad
fucking
Man,
Entourage.
Like, there's a season one episode where like a bunch of the people are like listening to a Bob Newhart album, but like literally they do that joke all like every single season like probably like a couple an episode they have like a Bob Newhart like one side of the phone joke where somebody's just like what, no, I'm not going to church or something, like I don't know, it's just like a dumb Bob Newhart sketch and it's like great.
I mean
Bob Newhart is
so
funny,
man.
Bob Newhart is funny,
yeah. And then you should watch The Mad Men because there's so many like one-sided phone sketches.
And plus the shocking stuff, like when that guy's foot got run over with the
lawnmower. That was incredible. Yeah, that was that was my like Twitter 2000 like my plans in 2000 like.
Oh Oh, that's a good one. Yeah. I mean, no spoilers for, I mean, Jeff, if you don't want to, but the whole Lane trying to start the Jaguar and it not starting after he broke his glasses.
Yeah.
Or him and Pete getting in a fight.
So basically, so I guess this is kind of how I view prestige TV, is it's basically like 1970s sitcoms. But like with like death and violence and murder in them. That's basically like what the whole fucking the entire perspective is, and they're kind of like strung together, as Scott was saying, as like with a like a overarching story.
Well, I would say you're close if you like. I think if you just took the themes from those 70s sitcoms and then played them straight and just let those scenes just like sit for a long
track,
and also have for like, you know, a lot more characters with interesting sort of stuff going on. I mean, Pete Campbell.
Yeah. Piece of shit.
So funny.
I love like the Don Draper character, like compared to like the Don Draper like meme format, because like they always use him as like this cool fucking like ace hench motherfucker, and he'll drink all day and like he'll be cool with his wife and shit.
Oh, he's me.
But he also cheats on his wife, but like. No, it's just such broken logic, because in the show Don is like sad and pathetic and like he doesn't know how to like
awesome.
Yeah, I think the point's the image though. I think the point of the meme is the image that he tries to put out. Yeah. Right?
Right. But also it's the same thing as like the people who watched Breaking Bad and took the lesson being like Walter White is tight and cool.
Yeah.
It's
isn't it cool to be like a crime boss?
Yeah.
It's like that's not really the point of the show. Man, isn't he awesome? The point of the show is that decide to kill everybody because they make it feel good.
It's a big Scarface like mistake where everybody's like, "Oh man, don't you want to beat Scarface, the guy who like has no life and only talks to like his best friend and his bodyguard and his like wife who stole from his like old drug boss? Like, don't you want to live that life?"
It's
like,
yeah, doesn't that sound cool? Isn't that the lifestyle?
I mean, he sits in a cool tub.
Man,
a cool tub.
It's such a funny man. It's so sad. Like, yeah, the saga of Dick Whitman is one of the saddest things on television. I mean, he's literally weeping in a Hershey's pitch.
Yeah, there's a thing where like he like meets the Hershey's chocolate people, and like the big thing about Hershey's chocolate is like the guy who owned it like started an orphanage, and he used to like read.
He's a fucking Bill Gates, like we talked about earlier.
He like lived in a whorehouse, and he was like read about this place, and was like, "Man, I wish I lived there." And then like he'd have to steal money from somebody to buy a Hershey's Kiss or something.
Yeah,
he would rob the Johns.
Yeah,
and if he did a good job, the lady would slip him a dollar for like to buy a big Hershey's bar, and that's like he like in the middle of the pitch with the Hershey's executives for their candy commercial, he's like telling them the story. Yeah. And everybody's like, "God damn, could he shut the fuck up, please? Please tell him to stop talking about this."
Yeah, because like everybody's always like, "Man, Don Draper never talks about his life because he like stole his identity or whatever." And he's like,
This
is like the first anybody ever hears about his life, and he's just like weeping to these like people they're trying to impress.
And immediately everybody tells him, like, "You gotta put a lid on that stuff, Don."
No, they like basically
not
were like
thinking about your life at work anymore.
No, it's even funnier than that. Like that happened and they were like, "Don Draper, you're fired."
Yeah. Hello? I think we lost Cyrus, but that was
Cyrus got knocked out by the storm.
R.I.P. did a real one. Anyway, I'm kind of like very like derelict in my TV watching. It's kind of embarrassing, but you know what? I'm not embarrassed. You know what? I'll wear it like a badge of honor. I'm fucking stupid. And you explaining it to me is probably funnier than actually going through the show.
Yeah, but it's fine. You don't have to be held up to that obligation anymore. It comes off of Netflix at June 10th. So
what does?
Mad Men.
Oh,
Saddest
yeah.
Day of my life. I'm going to get a tattoo.
Is it going on somewhere else?
Probably, yeah, but you know, I'm gonna miss it.
Yeah, they're on the market. They're definitely gonna try and amp up. They're gonna do like the fucking WorldCom, and they're gonna try to do like Enron and try and like juice the
Netflix.
Or not even necessarily juice Netflix. Juice whoever's gonna pay them the most, and sort of like do some free market shit. You know.
Well, I don't think people like watch Mad Men like that. Like,
It's not like a show where people
that doesn't matter though.
People are like, fuck yeah, I'm gonna watch Mad Men. Like, it's not like Entourage or some shit where people just like.
So let's talk about Entourage actually for a minute.
Buddy, you just stepped on my trap card.
Okay, so Entourage is simultaneously absolutely unwatchable and terrible. And also, like, it encapsulates, like, in the subtext, the culture around fame, if you know what I mean. Like, I don't particularly like Entourage's show, and I don't like any of the characters, really. But I kind of understand the sort of, like, rallying around the fucking, what's his name?
Vince.
Yeah, I understand, like, the dynamics of the culture of the people who are, like, hitching their wagon to the famous guy.
Yeah, it's really kind of something they do broach, because, like, there is a weird, like, division of labor in their house or whatever. Like, I mean, like...
Dudes being bros.
Yeah, it's really weird because it's like they always are like, hey, yo, Turtle, you could get no fucking pussy if it wasn't for Vince. And just like stuff like that. And like they're just always
taking the piss.
Yeah, yeah. But like they're just kind of like bringing up the real problems. Like these are all like this is a badly written show, but kind of the interplay is kind of what people enjoyed about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but like it is. Weird because they definitely people tell them all the time that they're just mooching off their fucking famous friend and shit. Like,
yeah, that's the whole thing. That's the whole. That's the central joke of the entire show, right? And like, yeah, it's sort of just... an exploration of that more than anything. And the weirdest thing about Entourage, I find that's fascinating, is that the guy that's the most famous among all the friends is the person that's the least part of the show out of anybody. It's about the friends, Vince. He's like the least important character.
Yeah, I mean, he's like the plot. Like he's
kind of
the
plot device.
Character.
He's a human plot device.
It's like, why are we in Cannes? And he's like, because Vince has to go to Cannes, baby. So let's get on some fucking yachts or something. You know, it's like stupid shit like that.
Yeah.
Like it is a like, I don't want people to like cast aspersions or whatever. This is a bad like homophobic show. Like,
No. That's
really poorly written.
But that's. I understand that, but that's not what we're focusing on here, I suppose. Like the what we're focusing on is like the relationships between the characters, no matter what, like how bad like they are and kind of the other ways. Those things are definitely true. You know, those things that you're talking about, and this is sort of like where cultural critiques get kind of a little weird, especially on the internet. Because there's like when somebody says they like or don't like there's no sort of like nuance in how these kind of conversations go. Right? Oh, you like that. You must be homophobic like the main character or whatever, you know?
I find
that in wrestling a lot.
I think things are definitely changing on that front. Like,
good.
Like, that was necessary to be like, oh, well, there's discourse. We need to establish a discourse, but, you know, kind of critiquing the discourse is now a thing. Like, people could be like, oh, you watch a show that like, has all these bad things, but like, there are like,
you don't watch it necessarily for bad things.
There are good framings of bad things and like bad framings of bad things. Mm-hmm. Like things could be handled like very poorly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. I can't think of an example, but like, I mean, the discourse kind of had to get established before it can like, you know, become self-critiquing, you know? Well,
and internet talk is in a, like a, if it's past like primordial, then it's barely past primordial. If you know what I mean, the way people talk on the internet.
I don't know, but
so basically, there's like a thing about these in a real sense is that like it's at the in a certain sense at a very basic level, like goes along sort of like very clicky tendencies, you know, and there's not necessarily material factors that bring the groups of people together that come together other than sort of like cultural cachet. Or cultural things that bring them together, and so that's where the foundations by which the society or that clique is constructed. And when the other sort of contradictions kind of collide with one another amongst the individuals who are from all over the map, I mean, because like people who watch wrestling, for example, or people who watch Entourage, or people who watch X, Y, or Z show that's part of mass culture, there's necessarily going to be people from different parts of that culture who are participating in that.
Yeah, a lot of people are
sort of like, yeah,
a lot of people are new to the discourse. Like, yeah, they need to find like what is bad, what is good. Is the thing that's done bad, can it be done in like an artful way, maybe? Like,
right.
Like, I just watched Urban Cowboy, a movie about
John Travolta.
About John Travolta being a poor guy at bars who decides to be a bull rider. And like, that's fine.
Not even a real bull rider.
They don't gussy up the fact that he's like a fucking piece of shit. Like, and it's a different time. Like, people are just like, he just hits his wife like a bunch of times, and they're just there's no like romantic loss of kind of like there's no like, oh, he was being cruel to her. Like, there's not even like that kind of like glint. It's
he's just doing like, what he had to do or whatever.
It's just like couples be fighting, you know?
Yeah. I mean, if you remember like back in the day, like fucking Western movies, they would literally have like women just thrown down and like spanked on the part of the movies. Like, yeah, literally.
It's all very bad. Like, kind of the framing of the detective is like a blue collar, like thinking man in a certain way. The cowboy is very much like a blue collar lout. And sometimes he can be like, you know, principled and stuff and wear a white hat.
Have his own code.
Like, most of the time, if you have a town of cowboys, it's just a bunch of jerks.
Well, cowboys, like the sort of like U.S. cinematic myth of the cowboy or whatever is something is that's complete construction. People. It's complete construction, right? It's something that's totally made up. Like, cowboys, as they're put, are basically just ranchers, right? And they would travel.
More like the people that work on a ranch, like the seasonal workers. Like,
yeah.
I come into town.
No, they didn't own a ranch. They worked the ranch. They're like migrant workers.
Yeah.
And like, they weren't like a, you know, John Wayne, Clint Eastwood, or whatever type, just like walking into town or whatever. That's not
those
how
are
things
like martial characters.
Yeah. Like, the whole point of that is to like the thing with the sort of like cowboy history in the US is way more complicated, but the sort of way that we think about it in our brains is the sort of Western movie portrayal, I suppose.
Yeah, it's very much not.
It becomes like historicized, even though it's ahistorical.
Yeah, I mean, people thought that was just how it was. Like, like,
damn,
oh,
sheriff's just getting shot out left and right.
Yeah, like the idea that like so many gunfights would always happen, and all these like crazy wild gunfights is very much like an artifice of Hollywood. Like they talk about like tough towns back then, and it's just like, yeah, there were, people get shot like sometimes, like. But it's like, I don't know if it's even like Deadwood like does, where they just kill people all the time and like feed them to the pigs, and like so many people die and there's no evidence of it, you know. But there are people that die in Deadwood that happened in history, like.
Yeah, it's like a meta historical show, you know. It's like sort of like In and Out.
It's like, oh, this person died. Well, he was a nobody, so that's why he's not in history books.
Yeah, it's like a like when you think about Marvel Comics or whatever, you think like the regular universe, and they have like alternate, like a million alternate universes or whatever, or not just Marvel. Yeah. That's a DC and a Marvel thing, but essentially, like this is sort of like a you know, universe A, you know, 1A that exists like parallel to ours, and this TV show that people made up is actually a potential, like it's connected to the real universe, but if things have
like
gone like slightly different.
Yeah, there's like similar ideas, but with like different like spins. Like in the old Marvel universe, DC universe, it used to be they had Earth One and Earth Prime, and it's like, well, which one's the more better?
Yeah,
is Prime the zero? Is zero a prime number?
I mean, that's the important question.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, like, but that's a way of like wrapping things up in mythology, right? And like having the being able to sort of like, I don't know. When I think about that, I kind of think about the way that like the whole point of it is to spark the the like fight over it, right? People like, you're just trying to create two discrete camps. Well, Earth Prime is better than Earth One or whatever, you know?
Yeah, plus there's like an Earth Two and it's just like, what a fucking dunk.
Yeah, gotcha.
It's like, which one are you from? Earth Two.
Well, it's something that people
sounds
said
like shit to me.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Earth to Electric Boogaloo. One of the things that I also sort of think is funny too is there was this like old argument about like college football, right? And the way that college football's rankings have always been done is through like voting by press and like coaches and like different people who have like varying degrees of connection to college football, right? And the point of it has always of that. Because it's like, this poll says that, you know, LSU is number one, and that poll says that it's Alabama, and that poll says it's USC or whatever, right?
Well, that is what the bowl system was. It was just a bunch of regional, like, championships.
Right. It was regional champion. But essentially what it became was, like, the point of it wasn't to actually decide who the best team or whatever was. The point of it was that people would fight about who the best team is.
Yeah.
And so, like, then you get people when Alabama finally plays, you know, Arkansas. Oh, no, not Arkansas, both SEC, but like Michigan or whatever, you know, then that's when people are going to tune in because they're sort of working from that framework.
Yeah.
And part of it is like, there's a lot of like, would Superman beat Batman in a fight? You know?
Yeah.
It's the same exact fucking thing.
Fun stuff. Love to talk about
actually
that.
Actually thinking about that, like, yeah, saying that, like, I remember because I was in college for this, but like when LSU won the national championship and USC also kind of won the national championship, that's almost the exact same thing as when people were saying like Batman would beat up like fucking Superman or whatever, you know? Like,
oh yeah, there's like a thing about that where it's like people think, like, you know, somebody who like reads a comic book or whatever is a nerd, but the person who does like 30 hours a week of like fantasy football is like somehow the cool guy.
Yeah. Like, nope, they're not. Both, they're not.
Like, they're just both similar people. But
they're the same
like,
person.
Yeah. For like different like interests.
Literally, like in a lot of cases, they're the same person though.
Yeah. And there's like elements of like, you can win money from fantasy football. So there's like kind of grifty shit too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think of fantasy football as some like grifting ass shit, like backbiting, just miserable shit.
Well,
I hate it.
No, I like it because it's fun, because it's something to scream at people about, right? It's something to get mad about, and like, I don't know. I like getting mad at people. Like, it's funny to me. I'm not mad, honestly. It's very funny to me. But one of the key sort of things that determines
why do you like getting mad if you never get mad?
I'm not mad. It's funny to me.
You just like to have funny jokes. Yeah, so that's what you enjoy. It.
Anyway, but the whole point of like what makes a player good in fantasy football as opposed to like a good player in like actual football is not they're not connected. I mean, they're correlated, I suppose, but like. You know, guys, certain players are able to do things that are not like catches or like so again.
All right. Yeah, I know what you mean.
So like who in the world would draft like an offensive lineman for a fantasy football draft?
Nobody,
because they're not the kind of player that matters for a fantasy football, right? But in actual football, I sound like the biggest fucking nerd when I say this, but like nobody, if you don't have people block for the quarterback or for the, you know, block for runs, you don't have anything, but that doesn't matter. Everything's dependent on that sort of baseline of like, can you guys block, you know?
Yeah. I don't know, man. I think
it's a grip.
I hate fantasy football because, honestly, I like watch football and I think it's interesting sometimes. And like, I like watching sports, but I don't know, like knowing all this fucking arcane, just dogma, fucking shit. Like,
and
I don't
speculating even about who's gonna be the best this time.
Yeah, like you were
I'm
saying,
the
like,
joke,
there,
like
there
I'm
are
intentionally
football people that like just do good stats, and people are like, yeah, I fucking love that football character, like Drew Brees. Like, is how many?
He's a points like, putting up machine.
Yeah, like even he's having his worst seasons, they're like, oh, this is his best season for yards.
Yeah, because
he's just like throwing, he's going yard. He don't care if anybody scores a touchdown. Like, well, he just cares if they get yards.
Drew Brees likes to win, I think, but like, I see what you're saying.
No, but like, it's like almost one of those things was like, he did that so well for so many years that
it's the only thing he knows.
They just
how to
gave
do.
Him like $50 million yeah. for like three seasons. It's ridiculous.
And they
like,
never ever play another snap of football again in the coronavirus world.
All these seasons where Drew Brees just like doesn't make the playoffs or like whiffs and just does terrible. Like everybody's like, that's my quarterback. I love that guy. Like he's doing it for us. Like they don't hold Drew Brees accountable like at all.
Yeah, and like, they never say like that was a dumb throw that Drew Brees threw.
Yeah, whenever the Saints lose, it's like the coaches. Oh, man,
the defense.
Defense is terrible.
Where were the receivers? They dropped six balls that game or something, you know.
Yeah. Like, I just hate them. I just hate Drew Brees. Sorry, Louisiana fans.
Damn, you're making us like on the number one hit list of most hated radio show/podcast, and we want to tell you by hating Drew Brees. Keep going.
Follow me on Twitter at Eminent Prof.
Yeah, follow Scott on Twitter at Eminent Prof. Follow me on Twitter at Eminent Prof.
No, shut up. Oh, yeah. All right, yeah.
You can also listen to this show on Tuesdays on WHIV-FM. You can get more information online at whivfm.org/good-morning-comrade, on Twitter at Comrade Morning, and also on goodmorningcomrade.com. We did have Cyrus on the show for a little while, but he dropped out because we are having some crazy weather in New Orleans. It's a really rainy night, but you can get more information about Cyrus's work on twitch.tv/suplast. I'm sorry, Cyrus J. Cooper, twitch.tv/CyrusJCooper, I beg your pardon. But he has a show called Sup Last where he watches some national news. He provides some commentary. And who knows, I might drop in the comments. It's always fun. Scott, you check out Sup Last. It's funny.
Yeah, I do that. Cyrus is pretty funny.
Yeah. Anyway, you definitely check us out Tuesday, Thursday, patreon.com/ Good hyphen morning hyphen. I'm sorry. Good morning, comrade. No hyphens. Patreon.com/goodmorningcomrade. We are five away from our goal for patrons. And we have actually been talking, and I think we're going to have to do it this time. We've been building it up for such a long time. I think I do want to do a show on Escape from LA. What do you think, Scott? You're in?
You're really calling your shot. I'll do it.
Let's do it. And we could do like a little commentary on that. That could be, you know, patrons only sort of thing. Be a part of that. Patreon.com/good-morning-comrade. Scott, what do you want to tell the people before we go?
Love you, bye.
Love you, bye.